Do you know what movie this is?
It's protein, totally non-toxic.
And you can't buy this in the USA?
Not approved.
You could be making a fortune off of this.
You look great.
Honestly, I look amazing.
Anything to declare?
Nada.
They're importing illegal drugs for sale. It's a very serious offense.
They're not illegal. They're merely unapproved.
That is Dallas Buyers Club, which was reportedly one of the most stolen movies. And have you seen the story this morning, news.com? The headline reads, Days Numbered for Illegal Downloaders as Crackdown is Given Tick of Approval. Australia is widely regarded as one of the biggest consumers of illegally downloaded TV and movie content in the world. And yesterday, a Senate committee recommended a law to block websites that offered pirated content. It would also block VPN, the virtual private network, services that some people use to access overseas services not available in Australia. So what does this mean for Australians who have become used to viewing shows and movies effectively as soon as they screen overseas and see them for free? And will it work? Stuart Garian is an internet commentator and technology writer, and he joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Simon.
How will the system work?
Well, the idea here is that a copyright holder, say Dallas...
Hello. We seem to have lost Stuart Garian there. You're on ABC Riverina and Southeast. We'll be back with you shortly. Good morning, Simon Wallace with you, and we've got Stuart Garian back with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Simon. Take two. We're here.
It's always hard talking about technology when something goes wrong with what we consider fairly basic technology.
Look, it's always the old stuff that fails us, and the new technology works perfectly every time. What am I saying here?
So what are the rules at the moment about people importing TV shows?
Well, at the moment it's actually a bit fuzzy because it's not illegal. That is, you are not committing a crime if you happen to download a movie or something or stream it from an overseas site. What you're doing is you're breaking the terms and conditions of using the site. So if I go to, I want to have a look at a movie, stream it online, and it's not available from an Australian service, and I pretend to be an American and get it from an American service, technically I'm breaking their copyright distribution agreement, but I'm actually not doing anything criminally wrong. So what the new law that will come in will do is try and unplug that gap. So a copyright holder, and you mentioned Dallas Buyers Club before because they've been the subject of a legal case recently, if you were getting that from an overseas site, what they can do is go to the High Court, give an injunction, and get the internet service provider to block access for all of their customers to that overseas site. So they have to kind of prove that the overseas site is breaching their copyright and that by blocking it, they're not going to cause any collateral damage by blocking some legitimate business activities that are happening on the same site.
So at the moment, it's not illegal because you're not selling it. You're just using it for your own private use.
That's right. I should say that, if you start downloading and making copies and selling, as soon as you start charging money, then you're becoming a criminal.
Is that the same as torrent downloading? Or is this
pretty much, yeah. The law doesn't differentiate between whether you're downloading something to watch later or whether you're streaming it live. It's all related to, do you have the rights, the copyright in this case, to view that material, and it doesn't matter how you're getting it.
Because if people spend a bit of time and want to catch up with sport, if they Google enough, they will find it that someone's putting it online free to air, but you get some pretty nasty hangers-on as when you open your computer next, but you can find all this stuff online. It's amazing.
Oh, that's right. And this is why, even though, the federal government, like some other governments around the world, has been trying to introduce laws to stop this, the basic problem for them is that it's very easy to bypass a block on the internet. It's a bit like looking at a road network in a town, and the cops want to stop you getting somewhere, so they put a roadblock up on one street. Well, you just take another street.
So what will happen next? These other sites will pop up about other ways to do this?
Well, there's a bit of speculation here about what will happen. In the past, and up until now, whenever one site's been blocked, it's a bit like playing whack-a-mole. You hit one and they just pop up somewhere else. And a site called the Pirate Bay is one of the more notorious of these. It just keeps hopping around from server to server, from country to country, and you know it'll blip up in countries that don't have as coherent a law enforcement response. We can perhaps put it more politely. The other scenario is that there's a lot of talk about the idea that the reason people download things unlawfully, as opposed to illegally, I'm making a very fine distinction there in the wording, but the reason people are doing it is that the material isn't available in Australia in a timely fashion at a reasonable price. And we see that with TV series like Game of Thrones and so on in particular that are incredibly popular, have a huge fan base, and obviously when a new episode comes out, all the fans want to watch it at the same time as all their friends. So there's an incentive to grab the thing unlawfully. Now, we do have, coming on stream in Australia over the next 12 months, a larger variety of streaming video on demand services. So there's a school of thought, and the Internet Australia, which used to be called the Internet Society of Australia, has, and other groups, Choice, I think, have made the same point, that why do we need to rush in this, you know, regime for site blocking and so on? Maybe if the theory is that people are willing to pay money if the product is available, well, let's see how that plays out over the next 12 months. Let's see whether, you know, people really do start behaving themselves and paying the few dollars to the new services.
Because do you think it's funny that pay TV, satellite and streaming versions are all going gangbusters to get content on as soon as possible, but free TV broadcasters are still willing to make people wait?
Yeah, they are. And look, this is because there's been this traditional multi-stage process of milking a film or TV program for money. You know, it starts off on a premium service like pay TV, or in the case of a film in the cinemas, and then it goes on to free-to-air TV, and then it goes on to distribution, well, Blu-ray these days. It used to be DVDs and used to be videotape back in the day. And then eventually, you know, it gets remaindered in the second-hand shop, you know, 5 years later kind of thing. But this is kind of changing. The whole point of the internet and the big change it's making to society is that it's creating this global instantaneous communication system where people who use it now expect to be able to get anything they want as soon as it's available. And that's changing our perceptions. And the free-to-air TV networks in Australia, how can I put this politely, are not the most forward-thinking people on the planet.
I guess like newspapers and, well, like radio stations, there's a lot of changes taking place and people are still trying to find out where they are in the marketplace now.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is the big problem. No one quite knows how it's going to play out. The newspapers, as I've said, the newspapers are really a kind of 19th or 20th century media factory that gather news and put it on, you know, slices of dead tree and deliver it to people's doorsteps. That's changing. So it's not that journalism is dying. It's not that news is dying. It's just that this particular style of factory distributing its product in a particular way, that's going out of business. But there's all sorts of fascinating new media outlets starting up online that are responding faster and cheaper, and some of them are growing really quite well. We've gone away from movies here a bit, but I like to point to BuzzFeed in this case, and the website BuzzFeed, a lot of people deride it, go, oh yeah, it's list of 10 cats that look like Adolf Hitler, or, you know, all of these kind of corny stories. They posted one yesterday, was these Australian cartoon characters, what do you think they taste like? Like, what would Blinky Bill taste like if you ate him? And, like, that's not news, but they're using all of the ad revenue on those sorts of pages to pay for serious journalism. And when Malaysian airliner MH17 was shot down over Ukraine, one of the first six journalists on the ground in Ukraine was from BuzzFeed. Like, what? They're sending a foreign correspondent when, you know, other organisations and traditional organisations just couldn't get there in time. So it's a fascinating time.
They're arguably doing a more slightly more politically correct page three person, shall I say.
Yes, exactly. I do find it interesting that, you know, something like The Sun's Page 3 Girl in Britain is still going. I don't know. Are they making money? I'm not quite sure how well they're doing.
They've certainly got some questionable practices in other departments, but thanks for having a chat this morning. I guess, like everyone, we'll have to wait and see what happens.
Absolutely. Cheers, Simon.
Thanks for having a chat. That's Stuart Garrion, technology writer and internet commentator. You're on ABC Southeast and the Riverina this morning.